We are young today, and precious time is ours to borrow. We won't let it slip away. We are young today. Let's be young tomorrow.
Welcome to the Staying Young Show. This is Judy, and I'm here with Dr. Walter Gammon and Dr. Mark Anderson. We're the authors of the book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health and Age to Perfection, How to Thrive to 100, Happy, Healthy, and Wise. We're also the voices of Executive Medicine of America. Now, today's show is about breast cancer, and later this hour, we're going to be joined by Madhulika Sika, author of Breast Cancer Alphabet. It's a wonderful book on this topic, and I'm super excited to have her on the show. But this has been a good, interesting week, and this is a good topic because it's always good to talk about prevention. And we want to dedicate this show not just to women, although we're going to talk about women, but even to men. I mean, men can get breast cancer, and a lot of people don't realize that men can get breast cancer.
Well, it's extremely rare for men to get breast cancer, but more importantly, men have to, their loved ones, their wives, daughters, and mothers, and family members, and their bouts with breast cancer. So they end up being directly involved, even if they're not the victims of diagnosis of breast cancer.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, it is rare. I mean, I think statistics are just under 400 men a year get breast cancer, which is, you know, not a big number compared to the women. But you're right. I mean, breast cancer affects the whole family.
Of course, very controversial is the U.S. Periodic Task Force on Health now saying or recommending that women between 40 and 50 do not need mammograms. Of course, other bodies totally disagree with this, and it's a very controversial topic.
Well, I think this is one thing, and I'm going to go out on a limb and probably be a little controversial with my comments here.
Really?
I know it's going to shock you. But, you know, when the government is going to start paying for things, I find it really interesting how they start deciding you don't need it when they are going to start footing the bill. And I think this is just another one of those cases. We saw it when they started saying, hey, you don't really need to test for prostate cancer. And we're all like, yeah, no, we're going to continue to test for that. And then, you know, telling women, well, you don't really need to get those mammograms. Not like we were saying. And, you know, it goes to that acceptable death rate, right?
Well, that's right, because women between 40 and 50, some women do get breast cancer, and some women will die from it. And the Task Force on Health even admits it. They just say it's too expensive to screen for such a small number of women between 40 and 50 that are going to get breast cancer. I think that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I don't agree with it.
Now I'll muddy the waters, all right?
Okay.
So the Canadian study comes out. 90,000 women over 25 years, no difference in outcomes and survival rates between women who did and did not do breast cancers.
In Canada.
So that's not a question. So you tell me if they're cold, they don't need mammograms?
Well, so first of all,
you have to put your declaration out here. You're a former Canadian citizen.
I am, and so I have some insight into this. And recently, the Canadian authorities have been criticized on this study because they were said to be using a rather older equipment, less digital mammograms. The Canadian authorities, refute that, but the facts remain the equipment isn't quite as good. Secondly, the racial makeup in Canada is quite different than the United States. I think it's very dangerous to extrapolate what occurs in another country with less than optimal equipment compared to the U.S. to the U.S. I mean, it's apples and oranges.
Well, I tossed you that one to get you to respond to it, but the, U.S. healthcare system, for the amount of money it spends, lags behind every first world country in every category with the exception of one, and that's treatment and outcomes for breast cancer. And in that one, we are the leader in the world. And so, is that because we're more aggressive with the screening measures and should keep those mammograms going? So, I mean, these are some issues for, say, public policy and health statisticians to delve into. It's outside my realm.
All right. That means it's time for Doc Shock. That means something in the news that we find shocking or interesting. I thought this one was good here. Young women who smoke have been smoking a pack a day for a decade or more have a significant increased risk of, you guessed it, breast cancer, the discussion that we're having today. So researchers at the Fred Hutchinson Center, Cancer Research Center in Seattle found that young women who were current or recent smokers and had been smoking a pack a day for at least 10 years had a 60% increased risk of estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, which is the most common type. But that, I think, is huge. I mean, if for no other reason, women need to put those cigarettes down, they need to put them down for that. And let's remember that breast cancer is second only to lung cancer in cancer deaths among women in the United States. So the top two cancers, let's get rid of the cigarettes. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that music means it's time for the Immortal Minute. So we try to bring you news and updates to help you improve your longevity and have a longer life. And today, what we have is an article, or it was published out of the UK, where they've identified a metabolic link between exercise and longevity. So there's a new hormone. We're always finding new hormones. We think it's just a couple of those old simple ones that, thank goodness I don't have to go back to med school and relearn endocrinology all over. It'd be twice as much. But this one's called orisin. And orisin is secreted from muscle cells when one exercises. And orisin has been shown to increase and lengthen those telomeres we're always talking about that shorten as we age. And so now they think they've identified at least one direct metabolic link between why exercise can lead to longevity. So besides all the cardiovascular improvements and maintaining good healthy weight, now you can actually improve your longevity by secreting orisin when one exercises.
So do you think this is one of those things where we're going to start putting people on the treadmill and then drawing their blood for this? I mean, do you think this could turn into that eventually?
Or better yet, how about just giving me some? I'll just take some extra orisin.
Yeah. It might just end up in
my orisin with my resveratrol and astragalus root.
It might end up in that stay young vitamin line.
No, but it comes back to, you know, we've identified some things like that that we know will add 10 to 15 years onto human life. And that next level of, you know, are there some hormone things or things that we can do to stimulate our immune system that are going to come about in the next 5-10 years are going to be there. They're going to add another 10 or 15. So when we're telling people that, you know, you need to be planning for making 100, that's not a joke.
That's not a joke. Hey, go to the website stayyoungamerica.com. You can get more information there. Also, our phone number, 1-800-910-3932. You're going to need that for Dementia Defender. Each week on the Staying Young Show, we bring you information you can use. If you miss a week, want to share something you heard on the show, go to iTunes.com. We got to go to a break. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to have the author of the book, A Breast Cancer Alphabet. Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300, or visit stayyoungvitamins.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. When people see my face and they compare it to my headshot a year ago, they always ask the same question: what have you done and why do you look so much younger? Well, on the Staying Young Show, we stay on top of the latest and greatest medical advancements, and that's how we heard about the newest technology on anti-aging, and that stem cell cream that's made from non-embryonic human stem cells. It's made by a company called Lifeline Skincare, and they actually work only and exclusively with stem cells. Now, stem cells cause your skin to produce young, healthy skin cells and replace the older, damaged ones. Within just 3 to 4 weeks, you'll see your skin looking smoother, brighter, and younger, just like mine. Now you can learn about this fantastic breakthrough by calling 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. That's 817-552-4300 or stayyoungskin.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you, to advice on sex and your health. The book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger, and no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit StayYoungTheBook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting StayYoungTheBook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932. Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300, or visit StayYoungVitamins.com. Welcome back to the Staying Young Show, the voices of Executive Medicine of America, where patients fly in to see us from all over the globe. Today's topic is breast cancer, and we have a special guest on with us, award-winning journalist and executive editor of NPR News, Melika Sika, author of the book, A Breast Cancer Alphabet. Thank you for coming on the show, and we're so excited to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Now, one thing that we want to hear about, and I know our listeners want to hear about, because I'm sure there are people out there that either they're dealing with breast cancer or they have, or a family member is we want to talk a little bit about your personal journey and the day you found out, hey, I've got breast cancer. What was that day like?
Well, as I write in the book, we were at the White House doing an interview with the president, and I knew that I would get a call at some time that day with the results of a biopsy I'd had a couple of days ago. And I kind of felt during the biopsy that it wasn't going to be good. And in fact, you know, we did our interview and came out and we're getting ready to edit it. And I did get a call from my doctor, and I had her paged, and she told me that indeed I did have breast cancer.
So at that moment, was it hard to, like, even think about anything else?
It's a little bit of an out-of-body experience. You know, on the one level, you've just done this interview in the Oval Office at the White House, and then you're hearing this news. So I, you know, illustrate in the book the word cloud that was going through my head. Half of it was about the interview, and the other half was about the terms that I was starting to hear regarding breast cancer.
As a physician, whenever I have bad news, I never break it over the phone. Do you wish you would have had a face-to-face meeting with your physician at that point?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, we had talked about this before. It was my internist who found out the information. I was going to get a result from a radiologist the next day, a radiologist who I didn't really know. And because I had all my treatment in the same place, my internist was there too, so she would have access to my records. And she is the person I would want to hear it for. And we had actually, she said, you know, this is the worst thing. You're not supposed to tell people on the phone, but she said, I knew it would be even worse if I say to you, come to me tomorrow morning. We have a very good relationship. So for me, hearing it from her, however I heard it from her, was more important than hearing it from, you know, a radiologist or someone else in that department that I'd never really had a relationship with. And most importantly, she had arranged to have an appointment for me with a breast surgeon. So she delivered the news and then was able to tell me, okay, and this is what you're doing next.
In that cases, I mean, a lot of times the women are tuned into it because when they, you know, invite you back to come have your biopsy and, you know, you're asking the radiologist then, you know, they kind of have a clue what's going on. So we try not to deliver it over the phone, but, you know, we do the same thing. We'll have patients all lined up and ready to go. But sometimes we have to tell them to put the brakes on a little bit that, you know, they can explore other options. It's not going to change things if you're seen tomorrow versus next week.
Absolutely. And I think that that's hard as a patient. You know, part of you just immediately wants to do something. And of course, you're not your doctor's only patient. And a lot of things require waiting and analyzing and assessing options. And that's, you know, easier said than done to deal with as a patient once you get a diagnosis like this.
I think you said something that's really key, and that was you have such a good relationship with your physician. And there are so many people that don't have that primary care. They don't have that kind of relationship where, you, like you said, if I'm going to get the news, I want to get it from her. And, you know, if she calls me, we can do this over the phone. I think having that kind of relationship is something that is so key and so important, because you never know when there's going to be something big come up, and you really need to be able to, one, trust whoever's telling you what it is, and then trust the advice they're giving you. But also, there's a level of comfort, wouldn't you say, when you have that relationship with your primary care?
Oh, absolutely. And I know I'm probably in the minority in this country. There are challenges for primary care physicians, and I, you know, thank my lucky stars that I've had the same one for a long time. She's also my doctor's, she's also my husband's primary care physician, and my husband had been diagnosed with cancer 10 years before me, so she's sort of been through the ringer with us.
Yeah, and there's another key. You know, having, and I can tell us this side of it from the practice side, seeing the family or seeing the husband and wife, and being a physician for both of them, you really get a better picture, because then you can understand your patient a little better. I mean, this is kind of, I want to throw this out at the docs here. You understand a little better when you understand their spouse, and like when you give one advice and the other one's on board, don't you see that they do better?
Well, absolutely. I mean, bad news for one part of a marriage is bad news for the other side. So you have a better understanding of how it's going to impact the family unit. And you understand whether, in this case, the wife is going to have emotional support from the husband and so on. So it's very, very important.
We were talking earlier in the opening bit about, you know, breast disease, breast cancer not only affects, you know, the female patients, but it has an impact on the spouse and the family, and that, you know, there needs to be a primer for the husbands and, you know, their support on how to support these women. And I think the book goes a long way to helping even men understand that.
Well, thank you very much. And I think, you know, I was just really fortunate in all my doctors, my breast surgeon, you know, I met her for the first time and we talked about what was going on. And then she did a really wonderful thing, which our children at the time, two girls, were 11 and 13, and she said, if you need me to talk to your girls about what is going on, I will do that.
Wow, that's great.
So I thought, oh, great, I got a great doctor.
Yeah, that is really good. Just for our listeners that are just tuning in, we're talking about breast cancer, and we have Madlika Sika here, the author of the book, A Breast Cancer Alphabet. And every segment of this show, the Staying Young Show, is featured on iTunes as a free download. You can always go to iTunes.com and search the Staying Young Show to download shows like this and share them with your friends and family. And remember, at the end of the show, we have a riddle called Dementia Defender. And if you send us the correct answer and explanation, we could, and you get it right, we'll send you a free copy of the book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health or Age to Perfection. So write down emtexas.com and the phone number 1-800-910-3932. And then, of course, we can't get through a segment without giving a shout out to our military who listens to us all over the globe. We love you guys and we thank you for your service. Again, great show on breast cancer. And this is a really good book, A Breast Cancer Alphabet. And one thing, you know, I was reading what people say about you. And that's always interesting, isn't it, to read what people say about you? But I was reading what people say about you. And they said, you know, you have gone through this breast cancer and you don't act like a hero and you don't try to tell everybody what to do. You just are a real person. And this book kind of breaks it down and gives real life experience and real life information without being preachy. And I thought that was really good. And hands, you know, we give you a hand for that, for being such a great author. And
the book's only recently come out, is that right?
This week.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yesterday, in fact.
Yeah, fantastic.
Did you find it therapeutic for yourself to write the book?
Absolutely, and it sort of started off a little bit just I was keeping notes, not a journal, and I think it's really important to make that distinction. I'm not a journaler. I was keeping notes throughout the whole treatment process, and in fact, one of my letters is N for notebook. Actually, my husband was the stenographer to begin with, because when you're sitting there in the office with your doctor and at some point in the conversation you realize, oh, she's talking about me, and you kind of can't focus on what you're writing. So, yes, I did find it helpful, started off that way. And, you know, I found I had something to, you know, little things to say about a variety of different things. I had no interest in writing a cancer memoir. I think my case and my story is, I'd like to say that I represent the run-of-the-mill breast cancer patient. And I just thought I learned a lot from others who had gone through it, who were in my circle. And there are a lot of women out there who don't have that circle. And I thought that this might be helpful.
Well, one thing that you've been known to kind of talk about, and maybe you can, we've got a minute here, reach out to our listeners about, is, you're not a proponent of getting on the internet and trying to figure all this out on the internet.
I think that you can do some damage that way and cause yourself a lot of angst. You know, are there good, reputable websites out there that can help you with information? Yes, but there's a lot that isn't. And they're always going to be pretty general. And I think it's really important for you to focus on your own disease, your own peculiar. Everyone is different, and you have to work with your doctor and your other healthcare providers to do what's right for you.
Good, good information. Great stuff for our listeners. Again, the book, A Breast Cancer Alphabet, something that you want to pick up. If you know someone who's going through this, or if you yourself are going through this, pick this book up, A Breast Cancer Alphabet. And if you haven't been to the website, stayyoungamerica.com, be sure to go there. We got to go to a short break. Stay tuned, because coming up, more insight from our guest and her book, A Breast Cancer Alphabet. And later this hour, the Dementia Defender Riddle of the Day, your chance to win a free book. Stay tuned. The Stay Young Vitamin line is designed to keep you healthy and active by providing only the highest quality of ingredients without unnecessary fillers and additives. Have you looked at the supplements at the store lately? Flashy bottles filled with pills that have artificial sweeteners and colors. Not exactly what you need to get and stay healthy. The Stay Young Vitamin line has everything from children's supplements and prenatals to multivitamins and even specific products like resveratrol. But the best part is the Stay Young Vitamin line is free of things you don't need, like artificial ingredients that do more harm than good. Many of our supplements are also vegetarian and free of things like dairy, yeast, and gluten. For more information, visit StayYoungVitamins.com or call 1-800-910-3932. 1-800-910-3932. Stay Young Vitamins, 1-800-910-3932. StayYoungVitamins.com. Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young Vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young Resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300 or visit stayyoungvitamins.com.
This is Dr. Mark Anderson of Executive Medicine of Texas, co-host of the Staying Young Show. If you have a lack of stamina, has your sex drive decreased? If so, you could have a vitamin or hormone deficiency, and these symptoms should be taken seriously. Some centers focus solely on the testosterone deficiency and miss other important factors. The Executive Medicine of Texas Vitality Profile includes a thorough physical exam, extensive lab tests, and a review of personal and family history as we look for sources of your symptoms. Schedule your vitality profile at Executive Medicine of Texas today by calling 800-910-3932 or visit us on the web at emtexas.com. Again, 800-910-3932 or visit us at the web, emtexas.com.
This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show, and I want to share a secret with you. The Stay Young Vitamin line has an ultra-sexy hair, skin, and nails. Many of our listeners and many of our patients enjoy this supplement because they get to regain their youth. That's right. Ultra-sexy hair, skin, and nails will keep you looking beautiful and youthful. Go to StayYoungVitamins.com. That's StayYoungVitamins.com. Or you can call 1-800-910-3932. 1-800-910-3932.
Are you tired of the 10-minute exam? Does your doctor have one hand on the door just waiting to leave? We're dedicated to our patients and know that it takes time and attention to get their health where it needs to be. Learn more about the Executive Medicine of Texas Executive Physical Program and the yearly concierge package at emtexas.com or call 800-910-EXEC. That's 800-910-3932. Don't put your health off any longer. You're too valuable.
Welcome back to the Staying Young Show, the voices of Executive Medicine of America. If you haven't gone to StayYoungAmerica.com, be sure to do so. Our show is all about breast cancer today. That's right, breast cancer. We're visiting with Madalika Sika, author of A Breast Cancer Alphabet. Fantastic book. She is an award-winning journalist. I know you've seen her. She's also the executive editor at NPR. So she has been around the block. She knows a lot, and she unfortunately has got to learn a lot about breast cancer as well. But great book. It goes through and breaks the different things down by alphabet. So, Madalika, why don't you take us through a couple letters that are in your book and what they stand for?
Sure. Well, I'll start with the beginning. A is for anxiety.
That was an easy one to come up with, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of anxiety, and it takes different forms. You know, it actually starts when you get that letter after a routine mammogram that tells you to come back, and you don't even know what's going on. And it continues, you know, when you start the process. And as I've mentioned before, the waiting, there's a lot of waiting. We live in a sort of instant demand kind of world, and unfortunately, medicine isn't like that. And you have to wait. You have to wait for doctor's appointments. You have to wait for test results. And that can fuel a lot of anxiety. And anxiety never really goes away. You just sort of learn to manage it in some way, which I think is really necessary and not easy.
Well, I was curious, did they assign you a patient care advocate at the time when you visited the doctor or when you went to see the surgeon?
Yes. Yes, they had all sorts of resources available for me. And I think that, you know, I was fortunate to be to have my care at a cancer center, at the Lombardi Cancer Center at Georgetown University, so coordinated care. I think made all the difference for me. All my doctors were in the same place. They had all sorts of, you know, social welfare, nutrition, all sorts of help if you needed it. And I think that made a huge difference. You know, I didn't have to be driving all around town to different doctor's office with different sets of records and everything else. So combined care, I think, is really important.
I'd like to sidebar just for a minute. Recently, the U.S. Periodic Test Force on Health came out against routine mammograms for women between 40 and 50. What's your view on that?
Well, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a scientist, and I know that there's a lot of, you know, difference of opinion between those groups and the American Cancer Society and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I did have an annual mammogram because when I started taking an annual mammogram in when I turned 40, that was the thing to do. I was 48 when I was diagnosed, and in fact that year there was a big to-do about whether I should even go or not, and my doctor believed in it. And I think, you know, what we've misinterpreted is having a mammogram versus what you do with that information. And I know that there's a lot of discussion now about overdiagnosis and overtreatment. That's a result of what you do with the knowledge when you find out something.
That's a very good point, a very good point.
And so I think
that's why they killed the PSA. I mean, they don't say PSA is, you know, inaccurate for picking up prostate cancer. They're saying that they're, you know, causing too many biopsies and too many complications, and the medical community hasn't learned how to use it effectively yet. So until you do, we're going to take it away from you. And I think that's probably true of the mammography too, is that we end up, you know, over biopsying and being a little bit of that. We've got to find that middle ground to back off and not subject those women to unnecessary procedures.
Right, but let's just, here you have two women, you have Malika and myself, and you know, she had the mammogram, she had something suspicious, it ended up being cancer. I had the mammogram, I had the biopsy, and I was fortunate enough that it was benign. But you never know. I mean, who's going to be who? So it's kind of scary to say, well, we don't want to, you know, subject everybody to it because some people are going to be benign. But what if you're the one who wasn't?
Well, but I'll put, again, the devil's advocate is the women with the BRCA gene. It's the radiation that increases their risk for developing breast cancer. So unless that woman knows that she's BRCA negative, getting mammograms actually increases her risk of breast cancer.
Right. I think it's just, there's a lot of confusion out there, and it's really hard to make decisions, and that's why going back again to the patient-doctor relationship is really important. It's interesting you raised the PSA issue. You know, I have several male friends who have watched and waited, which is what they do now with, you know, when they're looking at prostate issues. You know, with mammograms, I happen to have an invasive ductal carcinoma in situ. They could see it was invasive and it spread, so there was obviously a need to do something. I think there's a lot more reporting now on the number of ductal carcinomas in situ that are not invasive but are still treated, and I think we need to be able to have a conversation about it. I think the toughest thing is that we as patients have such a belief in medicine and science and being able to give you a yes or no answer. And unfortunately, that is not true a lot of the time.
Yeah, well said. Okay, getting back to the book, because I want to hit a couple more of these letters. Let's talk about I, because I thought that was really good you included that. So let's talk a little bit about what you say I stands for.
Sure. I was really stuck on I, and then I started to think about all the things that I had to go through that I called indignities, of which there are many. There are many. You know, it starts with the mammogram where your breast is squeezed in between these two plates. There's an awful lot of...
You realize if the test for prostate cancer involved a similar type deal that no man would ever get tested, right?
I'd like to see you guys.
We would not be debating the usefulness of that test.
I refuse to be drawn into commenting on such things.
Go ahead.
There is an awful lot of poking and prodding in not very pleasant places, and that's an indignity. There are lots of people who suddenly become familiar with your breasts and photograph them and touch them, and you're opening yourself to a whole new world. So those are the kinds of things that I wanted to sort of lay out for people that you can get indignant about. It's okay to feel indignant about that. And, you know, a giant scar across my chest where I used to have a breast, that's a big indignity for me.
So what advice would you give to somebody who's kind of in that stage and they're kind of in that, they realize they're being exposed every 5 minutes. Every conversation is about their boob. Sorry, but that's just, you know, the way it is. I mean, what advice would you give to them when they're in that moment where they're like, I hate this?
You know, I think it's okay for you to say that. I think we, as patients, are not really comfortable saying much of anything that we feel. It might not change what the doctor's got to do, what the doctor's got to do, but I'll throw it back to the doctors here. You know, it's important for the doctors to know how the patient is feeling.
No, yeah, it's true. It's a communication level. It reminds me of at the University of California, San Francisco, they had a course for the second-year medical students where they checked them into the hospital and made them into patients for the weekend and, gave them a barium enema and had them push the IV pole up and down the hall with the backside of their gown flapping, basically to kind of sensitize them to some of the things that, you know, our patients experience on a daily basis. And so, you know, communicating that with your physician goes a long way.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the other thing is that we are a little in awe of doctors. Doctors go to medical school and they're really smart and learn a lot of things. But we don't have to feel stupid. And we as patients are allowed to speak regarding how we feel about things and ask questions that make sense to us and that are explained to us in a language that we understand.
Yeah, ask questions. That's such a good message. I know you push that.
The notebook's a good idea, too, because you forget to ask them, and then they got to come back.
Yeah, the notebook is really important. And in fact, N is for notebook in my alphabet, and actually at the back of the book we have blank pages for people so they can keep their own notes.
I was going to add that I think your book is fantastic for the husband or male partner of a woman with breast cancer. It really gives insight into what's going through the woman's mind as she progresses through all this, including your chapter on sex. I think it was wonderful. So congratulate you for that and recommend it to all the male partners here.
Thank you very much. I mean, my aim in writing this book was not just for the patients, but for the people around the patient, so they can get a bit of an insight into what is going on.
Well, fantastic. We want everyone in the listening audience who has themselves or a loved one dealing with breast cancer to pick this up, a breast cancer alphabet. And, you know, I just want
to... Has there been a movement to have this, you know, at hospitals and things and given to patients when they're diagnosed?
There needs to be.
Well, I'll leave that to doctors to proselytize.
Hey, it was such a pleasure having you on. Again, a breast cancer alphabet, Madalika Sika. Be sure to pick it up. If you're just tuning in to the Staying Young show, stay tuned because we're going to have the Dementia Defender coming up. You'll need the phone number 1-800-910-3932 and the website stayyoungamerica.com. Don't go away. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. You can start feeling the effects of hormone changes as early as 30 years of age. And if you're a man or a woman with symptoms of fatigue, loss of stamina, lack of concentration, or a dwindling sex drive, then you may be the perfect candidate for bioidentical hormone therapy. Forget the shots or messy creams. At Executive Medicine of Texas, we offer BioT bioidentical hormone therapy pellets that are more effective and more convenient. If you're ready to get back to a more youthful version of you, call us today at 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com. Again, that's 817-552-4300 or on the web at emtexas.com. You can have an increased sex drive, more stamina, and a leaner version of you. Just call 817-552-4300 or go to the web at emtexas.com.
You would never neglect routine maintenance on your high-performance car, and neither should you neglect your own body. Our health is the best asset we have, and you need to protect yours. Learn more about the Executive Medicine of Texas Executive Physical Programs, Age Management Programs, and Yearly Concierge Packages at stayyoungamerica.com or call 800-910-3932. That's stayyoungamerica.com, 800-910-3932. Take charge of your health and feel better and younger today.
Many doctors are quick to prescribe medication like antidepressants or sleeping aids, a Band-Aid that covers up the underlying problem. Micronutrient deficiencies account for many symptoms that are often missed. You deserve answers, and you deserve the right path back to health. Schedule your micronutrient testing at EM Texas or call 1-800-910-EXEC. It doesn't matter where you live. As long as it's in the U.S., a kit can be shipped to you. So call 1-800-910-3932 or visit us at emtexas.com.
Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300 or visit StayYoungVitamins.com. The Stay Young vitamin line is designed to keep you healthy and active by providing only the highest quality of ingredients without unnecessary fillers and additives. Have you looked at the supplements at the store lately? Flashy bottles filled with pills that have artificial sweeteners and colors. Not exactly what you need to get and stay healthy. The Stay Young vitamin line has everything from children's supplements and prenatals to multivitamins and even specific products like resveratrol. But the best part is the Stay Young vitamin line is free of things you don't need, like artificial ingredients that do more harm than good. Many of our supplements are also vegetarian and free of things like dairy, yeast, and gluten. For more information, visit StayYoungVitamins.com or call 1-800-910-3932. 1-800-910-3932. Stay Young Vitamins, 1-800-910-3932. StayYoungVitamins.com. Welcome back to the Staying Young Show. This is Judy, and I'm here with Dr. Walter Gim and Dr. Mark Anderson. We're the voices of Executive Medicine of America. You can visit us on the website at StayYoungAmerica.com, or you can download those past shows by going to iTunes and searching the Staying Young Show. So you're going to need that website, StayYoungAmerica.com, StayYoungAmerica.com, and the phone number 1-800-910-3932. 1-800-910-3932. You're going to need that because the Dementia Defender is coming up. We want to congratulate all those Dementia Defender winners, and I'm glad that you're picking up the books, I mean, for free, because if you get that right, you can pick it up. Now, if you don't know the answer, you can always call us and order the book, or you can go online and order the book. You can get either one of those books.
What am I going to do with the 12 books I already have? I don't need another one. I keep getting them right.
Yeah, if you keep getting them right, yeah.
Give it to a friend.
Give it to a friend. That's right. But also, we had a great guest. I really liked her, that breast cancer alphabet, Madlika Sika. But we didn't get to this, and I want to be sure to let everybody know that website for her book is breastcanceralphabet.com. But also, she wants people to go on, and if you have letters and you can contribute to that alphabet, maybe there's a particular letter that means something different to you. So you can go on a breastcanceralphabet.tumblr.com. And now the word Tumblr on these Tumblr sites is spelt differently. So it's T-U-M-B-L-R. So a breastcanceralphabet.tumblr.com. Be sure to go there. But, you know, I thought she said something really interesting about her experience. And then you were talking, Dr. Anderson, about people, or they were sending doctors to go have the patient experience, so to speak. I've been in a room with needles since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I mean, I seriously have been around medicine my whole life. But when I had to have that biopsy, they left me basically bare-chested on a table with a procedure thing next to me with all these needles filled with numbing agents and scalpels, and she forgot about me. She left me in there 25 minutes with nothing on my chest, and there were needles. I seriously had tears streaming down my face. I was mad as heck at Walter because I was like, why didn't he come with me? But this, you know, we were desensitized, you know? And I wouldn't have felt that way, I think, if things would have went smoothly. It was just that I felt so alone. But we're desensitized as medical people, I think. I mean, wouldn't you agree sometimes we kind of forget what it feels like to be that patient?
Yeah, for those of us who haven't actually been on that side of the table to any large degree. I mean, you don't have that experience. So, you know, a little refresher like that every once in a while, or even if I don't have to go through it personally, you can remind me to be more sensitive to patients. But we try to do that, but we do get desensitized.
Yeah, you know, it's a rough road because we do need to be more sensitive to patients. We need to understand. A lot of them don't understand the medical systems and what's going on, and we need to explain things and be more empathic. On the other hand, we can't ourselves get emotionally involved because that'll interfere our ability to make the right decision for patients. So it's a fine line.
Yeah, but you do get emotionally involved. When you have to tell somebody bad news, I mean, it really affects you. I mean, I can tell you as your
shortens
wife.
Shortens his telomeres.
It does.
Well, of course, most doctors, I would say almost all doctors, get emotionally involved, especially with bad news or, you know, all sorts of things that are going on. And most doctors hide it so that the patients don't see it. But you want to make the right decision, and you can't get too emotional because then you're going to make the wrong decision.
Yeah, that's why it's hard to think about family. When you say it's harder to rationalize and think medically when you're involved as a family member.
Right, that violates one of those tenets of you shouldn't be treating your own family. But, you know, I think Dr. Gammon's point is you're emotional about it, but it's not the same kind of emotion that clouds your judgment as if it's like a family member. So, I mean, you know, you're actually being empathetic to the patient at that point when you're feeling some of the same things they're feeling. And I don't think that clouds one's judgment. So flip side is you get to celebrate the good things too. So, you know, when the biopsy comes back and it's, it is benign, you get to share the good news that that you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Or
and the good news is there's more of that than there is bad news.
That's right. Or when we find things early, which happens a lot, and then we can go, you know what? You just saved your own life. You know, just by coming in and getting your physical exam, you just saved your own life. You can go home, hug your kids, hug your wife, because you're going to be here for a while.
Yeah, I think the other thing from her is that, you know, she lives there in Washington, D.C., so she used local resources and went to Georgetown. A lot of times patients, you know, want to say, well, do I need to go off to, you know, Sloan Kettering or the Mayo or something like that? And most people live within a driving distance of, a top-notch medical facility that can provide the care you need for most all things.
Yeah.
And what patients need, of course, is an advocate for them. That's where their primary care physician comes in.
Yeah, we get to be the tiebreaker a lot of times.
Yeah.
The tiebreaker?
Well, they'll get conflicting reports. You know, this doctor says do this, this doctor says that. I don't know which one to listen to. I like them both. I would say I don't actually break the tie, but you come back and kind of let the patient make the decision, but you can kind of give them those pros and cons on either side and help them formulate their thoughts. And, you know, it should be their decision to make, but you can help them get to that decision.
And specialists are often specialists because they don't communicate very well. And so by having a primary care advocate who can translate all the medical jargon, a patient can make a more informed decision.
You know, that's a really good point, because there are certain personalities that go with certain types of specialists. I mean, it's really interesting, and I won't get into it, but I mean, like if I said pathologist, I mean, you can get a feel in your head of what a pathologist is like. Or if I say orthopedic surgeon, you automatically can think of that personality type. Why do you think that is? I'm just curious. Why? I mean, are they just driven to these specific specialties?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are some physicians can be brilliant physicians, highly intellectual, but they hate talking to people. So they go into pathology or radiology where they have minimal contact.
I had one guy in our med school fainted at the sight of blood. Yeah.
What made him think he was going to go to med school?
Well, that was the whole deal. They asked him when he hit his clinical rotations, he would faint. And, you know, they're kind of like, did you know about this? He's, oh, yeah, I knew about it. And why do you want to go to med school? Well, I want to be a radiologist. I'm not going to be messing with that stuff when I finish. He says, I just got to make it through the 2 years. So, I mean, they kind of worked with him and got him, you know, some counseling. And he made it through the 2 years, and he's a practicing radiologist.
Well, this reminds me of a classmate of mine when I was in medical school. He became and all along said he would become a dermatologist. So when he was in the OB-GYN clinic, the professor, a crusty old Irish man, asked him a question, and the medical student had the audacity to say, well, I don't know it. I don't really care. I'm going to be a dermatologist. And the professor then said, okay, Mr. Dermatologist, in your fancy office with your fancy carpet, a woman comes in and bleeds all over your carpet. What are you going to do now?
It could happen. You know, it's really interesting when patients will come into the office. I remember one guy who was completely shot up, drove 200 miles and came into your office, and he had been shot up by a shotgun. He was bleeding everywhere.
No, he was shot in the eye.
Oh, that's
he
right.
He had shotgun pellets in his eye.
But it would hit him everywhere because it scattered.
Yeah, he must have passed 20 emergency rooms but came into my office. And, of course, I immediately picked up the phone and got him with an eye specialist.
Yeah.
Wasn't much I could
Saved
do.
Saved his eye, too.
It's time, I can't believe it, it's time for Dementia Defender. Yes, Dementia Defender has swooped into the control room with his cape with the double D on it. Are you ready for this week's riddle? You have two children. One child has 6 2/3 sand piles. Another child has 3 1/3 sand piles. First child, 6 2/3 sand piles. Second child, 3 1/3 sand piles. They combine their piles. How many sand piles do they have afterwards? Send in your answer.
All right, so you're going to go to stayyoungamerica.com, and you're going to send that answer and explanation to us. And if you get it right, we're going to send you a free copy, a free signed copy of your choice, either Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, or Age to Perfection, How to Thrive to 100, Happy, Healthy, and Wise. That number again, 1-800-910-3932, 1-800-910-3932, and the website stayyoungamerica.com. I forgot to mention this recently, but also, if you're a Facebook person, go on Facebook and find us under Executive Medicine of Texas is where you can find our Facebook, and there's a health tip every day on there, so good stuff. So all the time we have for today, you've been listening to the Staying Young Show, the voices of Executive Medicine of America, and for more information, visit that website, stayyoungamerica.com. Join us right here as we bring you information that you can use.
We are young today, and precious time is ours to borrow. We won't let it slip away. We are young today, let's be young tomorrow.
Here at the Staying Young Show, we're all about staying youthful and living a long and healthy life.
We never recommend anything that we wouldn't take ourselves. That's exactly why we recommend the same resveratrol supplements that we take each day to help us stay young and healthy. Early research has found that resveratrol has anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, anti-inflammatory, and antioxidant properties.
Resveratrol is an antioxidant that helps clear the body of free radicals. Free radicals cause cell damage. Resveratrol may also prevent telomere shortening. That's a genetic code that's associated with aging.
Not all resveratrol is created equal. Beware of low-dose resveratrol or resveratrol that is made with fillers. The Stay Young vitamin line uses only a pure form. Order your Stay Young resveratrol capsules by calling 817-552-4300. That number again is 817-552-4300, or visit stayyoungvitamins.com. This is Judy Gammon of the Staying Young Show. If you are still seeking out the fountain of youth, wait no longer. In our book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, you will find useful information on every page. From grocery store must-haves for a younger and healthier you, to advice on sex and your health. The book Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health works like a health and wellness journal that allows you to apply the information in a way that is personal and specific to your circumstances. There is no better time to get healthier and feel younger. And no better place to get your health information than from the experts on preventative and proactive health. Visit StayYoungTheBook.com or call 1-800-910-3932. Again, you can purchase your copy today by visiting StayYoungTheBook.com or by calling 1-800-910-3932.